seeing today is, what date is it? 21st of July, is it? Yeah. Goodness me. Where's the year gone? 21st of July. And I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm just going to pick up a little verse there that I want to talk about this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. And go down to verse 7. You probably know the verse very well. We've ministered on it before, but I just felt this morning we're going to look at it again. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, King James Version says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, the Amplified Bible just puts it a little differently. The Amplified Bible says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Those of you who are Australians, and I'm Australian by choice, not by birth, but those of you who are Australian know that you guys have a little thing that you say often, and it's no worries. For people who proclaim that they don't worry, Australians worry. I never met such a bunch of worriers in all of my life. I like what Kenneth Hagin has to say. He says his grandmother was a world champion worrier. And I tell you, I've met some world champion worriers here in Australia too. And I still meet every week. I meet all the people who worry, worried about this, worried about that. Our friend in America, in Louisville in Kentucky, Drummond Tom, he's from South Africa. But he has this saying. He says, if you worry, you die. If you don't worry, you die. So why worry? You're going to die anyway. I think that's very true. Now, what I recommend to you this morning is, and this is what I want to talk to you about, that God really is concerned about you personally. You're not just a little, you know, spot on the wall or something. He has you personally on his mind all the time. The scripture tells us he has our details in the palms of his hand. Some people say tattooed, but he has our details in the palms of his hand. So every time he looks at his hands, he's thinking about us. And someone said this, and I can't remember who said it, that if God had a refrigerator, he'd have your picture on it, Mark. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be there. Just like, you know, we got pictures of our grandkids, and I guess you do as well. I like 1 Peter 5, 7, and J.B. Phillips. Listen to this. I wrote this one down. J.B. Phillips translation. If you've never read J.B. Phillips' version of the Bible, it's very good. There's some very illuminating thoughts in it. This is what he says, 1 Peter 5, 7. Throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Now, when worry comes knocking at your door, I suggest that you stop it right there at the doorstop. I mean, wherever your doorstop or your step is, don't let worry come over the doorstep, because if you let it in, it's going to take up residence. It'll come in, it'll start to rule your life, and as Ian was saying, every decision that you make it within the sphere of what you can see, your circumstance circle, but if you make your decisions based on the Word of God, then worry will not control your life. I can remember, Elizabeth, in the early days, you know, when we were first in ministry, and I'm talking 30 years ago now, I'd say, oh, so-and-so's coming over for a meal. Her first words were, what are we going to have for tea? Worry again. What are we going to eat? And that's when we had nothing in the refrigerator, nothing in the cupboard. I mean, in the early days, we were very skimped in a lot of these areas. We had to believe God really for every meal. And most of you have never been to that place. You think, oh, well, when you're in the ministry, you know, everything's rosy and all that. And it is good. We're blessed today. There's no doubt about that. But we only were at the level that we understood then. But today we've learned a lot. I mean, the past 30 years I've learned some things, and I've been able to teach you guys some things too. But we've learned how to make this thing work. We've learned that we can go out and have a meal, or we can believe God for this, that, or the other. In fact, and I've said this to you before, one of the times when we were in America, I was in Texas, I took a whole church out for lunch. He said, a whole church? Yeah, 10 people? No, there was 100 people in the church, but 35 of them went out for lunch. Now, that was a faith step on my part, taking 35 people out for lunch. Just think about it, 35 lunches, that's not just like 50 cents. It's a few dollars in America. But the interesting thing was, as I gave away in order to bless the people, over the next 2-3 days, the offerings that came back to our ministry were just phenomenal. See, every seed that you sow, you're going to reap a harvest if you do it in faith. Now, we are his personal concern. Our face never disappears from his screen. Think about that. If you're into computing, as I am, I'm always writing and doing things on the computer. That little screen's always there, and I'm looking at it, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, sometimes longer, and I'm thinking about it. And if God had a computer, and I don't know how he keeps it all together up there, but if he had a computer, our face is his screensaver. Think about that. We are on his screen all of the time. So I believe God really does care about us, and he cares about the things that concern us. He cares about the things that bother us. He cares about the things that seem to worry us. And every nagging thing that sort of gets in our, you know, what's the word, gut-wrenching thing, things that bother us and just make us not as fruitful as we ought to be, those things God has a concern about. And none of them ever escape his attention. So I've written down some things here. What qualifies as a worry? What is a worry? A worry is anything that drains your tank of joy. A worry is anything that you can't change. A worry is anything that you're not responsible for. A worry is anything that's beyond your control. A worry is anything that frightens or torments you. And a worry is anything that keeps you awake when you should be asleep. Now, I've got at a stage in my life where I don't seem to need as much sleep as I used to. Elizabeth hasn't got there yet, but she still needs all her sleep. But I've got to a place where I don't need sleep quite as much. If I get 5 or 6 hours any night, that's enough for me. Used to be I needed 8 or 9. But I don't have difficulties getting up in the morning. I mean, once I waken up, I'm ready to go. If it's 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever it is, I'm ready to get up and go. But I have been at, there's been times in my life when I haven't been able to sleep, you know. Something's just bugging you, and it keeps going on and on, and you try to get to sleep, and you go to this side, you go to that side. Things that keep you from sleeping, those are worries. All of that stuff, you need to take it and transfer it from your worry list and put it on your prayer list. All those things that bother you and bug you and keep you back, take them off the worry list and put them on your prayer list. You know, I know some people have got those little beads, they call them worry beads, you know. You don't want to have those. You don't need worry beads. You need praise beads if you're going to have any beads at all. You need to be praising God. So take all those things that are on your worry list and put them onto your prayer list. Now turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Let's just look at a couple of verses there. Philippians 4. I want to read verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And this is from the King James I'm reading. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." The Amplified Bible says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, that is definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and minds in Jesus Christ." Now listen to the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. Tell God about everything. Thank him for what he's done. And if you do that, you'll experience God's peace. We need to start looking at our list of worries and one by one transferring them over onto this prayer list, just giving them all to God, one by one, passing them over. And you'll be amazed how God handles everything that overwhelms you. I tell people, as I've talked with them over the years, that if you will do this, you'll be amazed, because there's three things that will become evident to you. That God is able to handle it, because there's nothing too difficult for God. God is always willing to handle it. Not only can he, but he's willing to handle it. And number three, he's just waiting for you to give it to him. It says, "Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you." Just give it all over to him. We don't need to hold on to those worries. We don't need to keep those things. Why have we ever worried at all? But you see, that's the nature of fallen man, to worry. the nature of a man without Christ or the nature of a woman without Christ is to worry. I saw a poster one time, and this is what it says. Who says worry doesn't work? Most of the things I worry about never happened. Think about that. I mean, that's a statement if you can get a hold of that. Who says worry doesn't work? Most of the things I worry about never happened. And that's true. We worry about all these things, but most times they never, ever happen. See, if you want to test your memory, really try thinking, what did I worry about yesterday? What did I worry about last week? What did I worry about last year? You won't remember. Why? Because they're all gone. They're forgotten about. Jesus said in John 16, oh, this is one of my very favorite verses, and this made a big impact on me one day when Ian actually read this verse. I mean, I'd read it before, but never really took it under my notice, and then he read it from the Amplified Bible. I'm careful about using some of these phrases that have become commonplace, like, it blew me away. I don't use that phrase anymore, but it made a big impact on me. John 16:33, Jesus speaking. I've told you these things so that in me, here we are, in me, this is what we talk about, being in Christ. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. John 16:33 in the Amplified Bible. See, we're not really so much hurt by what happens to us, but by our perception of what happens to us. See, it's not the actual incident that bothers us so much, but it's what we think about. It's like Ian was saying before from the news sheet, you know, about our perceptions. Our perceptions become reality in our minds. And we perceive things. We think. Now, I was reading a little report, and I'm going to bring this to you. It just says, when researchers at King's College in London, which is a hospital, did a long-term study of 57 breast cancer victims who'd undergone mastectomies, they found that 7 out of 10 women who had a strong faith in God were still alive 10 years later. But 4 out of 5 who felt hopeless at the diagnosis they were given, died. I'm going to read that again. When researchers at King's College in London did a long-term study of 57 breast cancer victims who'd undergone mastectomies, that means they had a breast cut off, they found that 7 out of 10 women who had a strong faith in God were still alive 10 years later, but while 4 out of the 5 who felt hopeless at the diagnosis, they had died. It's amazing. See, what are your perceptions? And people today, you get this word, cancer, and immediately, that's a death sentence in most people's minds. Cancer, I'm going to die. Now listen to me. If the doctor tells you have cancer, you face a choice. Either you're going to struggle around and you're going to say, I got cancer, please pray for me. Or you're going to say, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago. So if I was healed 2,000 years ago, why am I concerned about having cancer today? Irrespective of what the doctor's telling me. Get what I'm trying to say to you. Because if you think you've got cancer, you're going to try to get rid of it. What's your perception? Your perception is you've got cancer. I had cancer. And I dealt with it. Most of you don't know that. It wasn't serious. It was just skin cancer. But it's the same kind of cancer that if you let it get into you, it can create major problems. We dealt with it. We took that thing to task and talked about it. And we talked to it and told it wasn't allowed to be there. I had prayer from some other ministries. And at the end of the day, let me tell you what happened. At the end of the day, the thing was getting worse. And guess what? I was no more trouble. You see what I'm trying to get to? I'm trying to show, what's your perception? Do you think that, well, I've got cancer and I'm just going to hang in there? Well, I have on my table right now at home, we have probably half a dozen emails that I've received this week from people who've contacted me and said, oh, we've got problems. You know, one especially, and I should have brought it with me to read it to you, but a lady wrote me an email and she says, please pray for my daughter. This is a lady from America. Please pray for my daughter. I've forgotten now what the daughter's name is. And it says, please pray for my daughter. She has been accused of selling drugs at school. The daughter's about 14 or 15. And she says, now I know that that is not the case because my daughter is a Christian. She has been wrongly accused. I know that. And says, it's not that, you know, because she's my daughter, she didn't do it. But she says, I know that that's not the case. I sent her back an email, and in this email, this is what I wrote. I says, do not touch this with your mind. And put four or five scriptures down. Sent it back to her. Got another email back, and Elizabeth, she almost cried when she read this one. She says, Dr. Campbell, do not touch it with my mind is exactly what I needed to hear. She says, that came from God. She says, because I was contemplating suicide when I got your email. Here's a woman whose daughter's been wrongly accused. She's a Christian. The mother's a Christian too. And because this problem has come in, this worry, this concern, this accusation, the mother's thinking about suicide. And the word God gave me was, don't touch it with your mind. Of course, she's okay now. She's not got a problem with it anymore. She's not touching it with her mind. She's not thinking about it. See, what you think about, you begin to rotate toward, you become like. If you think about cancer and think about sickness and think about all those things, they start to grow because you gain strength from what you give your attention to. You give your attention to this, guess what? You're going to grow strong in this. But if you start looking at the problems and the difficulties and the worries and the fears, that's why I'm telling you this morning, cast your care. Psalm 55, I think it is, about verse 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. So no matter what the burden is, whether it's cancer, heart problems, diabetes, doesn't matter what it is, cast it over on the Lord and he will sustain you. So we have to come to a place where we are worry-free. We've got to come to a place where we are trusting God. See, I believe God. I don't have any trouble with that. I just believe the book. When God says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed, okay, that's good enough for me. I'll accept that. I'm not going to argue with it. But see, God gives us common sense. He tells us that and this is my advice to you this morning, if you're not getting healed by faith, go to your doctor because you'll die in your doubt. I mean, use some common sense. God has given us liberal common sense. He expects us to use it. So if we trust God, what is trust? Trust is an attitude. Attitudes are nothing more, listen to me, than habits of thought. Now you want to remember that. Attitudes are nothing more than habits of thought. Now you've heard me talk about that if we do something for 21 days, we form a habit. I've talked to you about this many times. If you do something for 21 days, you form a habit. But if you do it for 90 days, it's a lifestyle. So an attitude is nothing more than a habit of thought, and habits can be acquired. Just like you teach and train yourself to smoke or drink or any other habit, it doesn't matter what it is, you can train yourself to have habits of thinking about the Word. Thinking, what does God say about it? If you want to change your attitude from worry to trust, I'm going to give you six things this morning and then we're just about finished. If you want to change your attitude from worry to trust, here are six things that you need to do. Number one, pray the right prayers. I'll go through them again. Number two, hang out with the right people. You heard Ian, I think last Sunday, Ian made this statement. He says, if you hang around a dog long enough, you get fleas. And if you hang around with people who are unbelievers, you hang around with people who are doubters, you'll doubt. If you hang around with pouters, you'll pout. If you hang around with people who do drugs, you'll end up doing drugs. I'm telling you, you just become like the people you stay with. But if you hang around with Bible-believing, tongue-talking people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll soon fall into the habit. Number three, read the right books. You won't get any good information reading Playboy or any of those magazines. I'll tell you that right now. You may be startled by the pictures, but you won't get much good information. Number four, speak the right words. There is death and life in the power that's in your mouth. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of your tongue. So we need to be speaking the right words. Number six, do the right things. I'll read this list again. Number one, pray the right prayers. Number two, hang out with the right people. Number three, read the right books. Number four, speak the right words. Number five, listen to the right messages. Did I give you that one before? Okay, number five is listen to the right messages. And number six is do the right things. See, you can go to church and you can listen to messages that are preached Sunday by Sunday or on cassettes and videos and all the rest of it, and that's all wonderful. But if those messages are messages of doubt, they're messages of worry, messages of fear, messages of doom and gloom and the end times and what's going to happen and it's all going to blow up and we're all going to be lost and whatever, that's not the right sort of stuff you want to listen to. You want to start listening to that you can do all things through Christ, that you are more than a conqueror, that you are what God says you are. You need to start listening to that kind of message. So the question then we come to right now as we finish this morning, is a worry-free lifestyle possible? I believe yes it is. Listen to this verse, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 again. We looked at those a moment ago, but I want to read this to you again. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. King James says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen to the message. This is Eugene Peterson's translation. It's called The Message. Philippians 4, 6 in The Message says this, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. In other words, Christ is on the throne instead of worry in your life. Now, I've got several scriptures I want to read to you this morning. These blessed me when I just was praying about this. Write these all down, please, and I'll read them to you. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. 1 Kings 8 and 56. This is what it says. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise. 1 Kings 8, 56. Next one is Isaiah 54, 17. This is in the New King James. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Zephaniah 3, verse 15 through 19. I'll just read a little bit. It says, the Lord is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. He is mighty to save. He will deal with all who oppress you. That was Zephaniah 3, 15 to 19. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7 and 8 in the NIV says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king. With him is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Ah, that's powerful stuff. Next one is Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2, NIV version. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my fortress. I will never be shaken. 1 and 2, Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2, the NIV. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 in the Living Bible. We mentioned this before. Philippians 4, 6, 7, Living Bible. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for the answers. If you do this, then you will experience God's peace, which is more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Romans 8, verse 35 to 39, New King James. This is what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the King James says. So all these things, tribulation, distress, peril, all these things. See, Paul says, I am persuaded. Now, you need to be persuaded that God is who he says he is, that God can do what he says he can do, that he has for you what he says he has for you. He says, I have a plan to make you successful, Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan that's going to make you successful. You are not going to be defeated. You don't need to worry. Remember, the message this morning for you is this. You are his personal concern. Your face is always on his screen. Doesn't matter where you are. Now, it's interesting what Ian was saying this morning. Remember, he said, no matter where you go, you get in a little cupboard, and you close the door, you think you're alone, God's there. Go in the, down into the deepest sea, God's there. Go up in a spaceship, God's there. He's with you wherever you go. When you're doing the right things, he's there. When you're doing the wrong things, he's there. He loves you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Think about that. See, you are his personal concern. God's plan is to make you a success. God wants you to be successful. We are to reflect his life. We are to reflect the life of God. Now, our time is gone. It's just gone 11:30. So Ian's going to come again and just finish off this morning. Thank you, Ian. We appreciate it.